He may not have horns, but Satan is alive and well. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, Practical Principles for Daily Living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope your weekend was dynamite. Hope you had time to rest, have fun. Hope you laughed a lot. Hope you went to church. And I hope if you did, that your time of worship was as great as it was at my church, and your sermon's pastor was as good as mine. You're listening, if you were wondering, to Key Life, and my name is James Dobson. No, it's not. Sometimes I wish it was, but I just can't be that serious. Today is April Fool's Day, and I just thought I'd say that to remind you that it is April Fool's Day. We are now returning to our series, which was an interruption of another series. After spending a week on themes more appropriate to Easter week, we're coming back, and we're getting close to the end of this, another week maybe to talking, and most of this material is from my book, When Your Rope Breaks, and you can get it from Key Life or from your bookstore. No, I don't make money. All of the royalties and stuff go to Key Life, so it's not a greedy thing on my part. So I'm pushing books, but not for the reason you thought. I can't believe you thought that of me. But at any rate, and there's a lot of extra material we're looking at, too. But we're talking about, the name of the book is When Your Rope Breaks. It's a microphone. We're talking about God and pain and suffering and evil. Because I think that when bad stuff happens, like the 9/11 things, Christians ought to know what they're about. They ought to have some depth. They ought to understand what the Bible has to say about these sorts of things. We're sometimes prima donnas in a horrible way, as if everything ought to be fun and wonderful. If you're not home yet, and this is a fallen world, and we've been talking about those particular themes. And this week, we're going to center in, as we started week before last, when we ended this series to stop for Easter, we're going to talk about Satan and some supernatural implications of evil. Before we do that, it's our practice on Monday to go before the throne before we study the book. Let's do that. Father, as we come into your presence, forgive us when we sometimes forget what a privilege, what a gift, and how amazing it is that a finite, weak human being could stand in the presence of the King, the ruler, the creator, the sustainer, the sovereign of the universe. And Father, we can only do that and do it boldly because of Jesus, and we praise you for what he did, for the gift that he gave, and for the fact that we can come here. Father, we have to pretend everywhere else. We have to smile when we don't feel like it. We have to do the things we've got to do, but in your presence, we can be what we are and know that you'll still love us. Thank you so much for that. Father, you know the people that are listening to this broadcast are going through a tough time right now. You know those that have broken hearts. You know the woman whose husband told her last night that he didn't love her anymore. Father, you know the young woman who's on drugs and knows that it's wrong and wants to get off but doesn't know what to do. Father, you know the decisions that are being made. You know the sin. You know the secrets that we're afraid to share. You know it all. So we're here. We're here because we're yours. Father, meet us at the point of our needs as you define them. And Father, we praise you and we worship you because you're worthy. And then we ask that you would oversee these broadcasts this week, that you would forgive the one who teaches his sins, their many. Father, we would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you were listening last week, not last week, the week before last, we talked about wizards that peep and mutter. That's a phrase from the prophet Isaiah. Talked about principalities, powers, rulers of the dark. And I gave you a great quote from Tozer, one of my heroes. Let me give it to you again. Show me an individual or a congregation committed to spiritual progress with the Lord, interested in what the Bible teaches about spiritual perfection and victory, and I'll show you where there's a strong and immediate defiance by the devil. Satan has been in this business of intimidating and silencing and oppressing the people of God for a long, long time. And as Ron Dunn, another hero who's home with the Lord right now, said, if you didn't meet the devil this morning, it was a good indication that you were going in the same direction. Now, we saw when we last talked about this that you shouldn't find demons under every bed. Who's the comedian who was always saying the devil made him do it? The devil probably didn't make you do it. The devil probably isn't responsible for the pain. A lot of it just simply comes from living in a fallen world where things are messed up, and because it's fallen, we're not. Now, ultimately, I guess, there's a sense, because of what the snake, i.e. Satan, did in the garden, that he is ultimately responsible for the fall, but you need to know that he is ultimately responsible for to God. You say, prove it. Job 1:9-12. I'm not going to take the time to read that, but that's where, before Satan could do anything to Job, he's got to get God's permission. Now, we started some important facts about Satan, and I'm going to review them for you, maybe say a little extra word. First, we saw that Satan is alive and well. Listen, if I can remember back when I was a young liberal, I couldn't say the word Satan. I used to say metaphorical personification of evil. Now, those of you in our television audience know that I'm blushing when I'm saying that. I'm so ashamed of some of the really dumb things that I believed and said in those days. But Satan is alive and well. Doesn't have horns and a red tail and a funny red suit, but he's alive and well. And the scriptures are clear about that. John 8:41, I'm going to start giving you a text. It's everywhere. Luke 22. So Satan is alive and well. Then we saw and spent considerable time talking about Satan is under God's control. He can't do anything to you that it doesn't first pass through a nail-scarred hand. Then we saw that Satan is learning. In Job 1:8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And then in Job 2:3, have you considered my servant Job? What's happening? God is in a pedagogical process. You say what? That means, I looked it up in the dictionary, it means learning and education and stuff. So God is in the process of teaching Satan. And I don't know what that means, but whatever it means, the scriptures indicate that we are being viewed by supernatural beings that we might increase their knowledge and their praise of God. Ephesians 3:10, you say, explain this. I don't know if I can. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, Paul says, by the church to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places. Now, when you read principalities and powers, you're talking about Satan and his dominion. So the Bible teaches that Satan is still learning. Then fourth, and this is really important, we saw that Satan is a defeated foe. You'll find this in Colossians 2:15 and other places. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Listen, don't act like a weenie. Don't go off in a corner and wring your hands because Satan is doing bad things to you. You have the awesome authority of Jesus. Take it. Stand up and be counted, and he will flee from you. You remember what Jesus said to Peter? Satan has desired to have you, but I prayed for you. So be strong. That's not an attack, but that's what Jesus meant. And then we saw from the book of Job that Satan is alive and sometimes not recognized. Satan is throughout the book of Job. However, he's never mentioned outside of those first chapters. In other words, he's behind the scene doing stuff. And Job thinks it's just bad stuff. I mean, he didn't bring up Satan anymore. And so Satan is involved in a lot of stuff. And we like to say it's other things. I remember one time down on Cape Cod, I was just thinking about this. Young man who I'm convinced was demon-possessed came into my study on a cold, wintry, snow-blowing night, and my study was about the size of your dinner table. And so he's really close, and he started cursing. I mean, man, I know those words. he started cursing, and the worst language you have ever heard in your life started coming out of this man's mouth. And at the end, he said, in a raspy voice, "If there's a God, I curse him." And I remember, because I was a liberal, thinking, well, the hair, I had hair in those days, and it was standing up on the back of my neck. And I felt something was going on that wasn't really good. But I was thinking, from my intellectual shallowness, my, this man needs some serious therapy. He's probably schizophrenic or paranoid schizophrenic. I think I'm going to try to get him into the hospital where I'm doing my clinical training. He needs serious help. Oh, he didn't need it. I mean, he was trucking with a reality that I didn't know about in those days. Now, we're going to be talking the rest of the week about that reality. But don't forget, Satan is alive and well. You think about that. I'm in. Hey, listen, a brand new booklet, From Panic to Power. If you're going through a panic situation, and I do a lot of times, you've been given some help. What can you do about it? Peace and power if you look in the right place. And that's what this booklet's about. And I'll send it to you free. You might want to give it to a friend who's going through a difficult time. You can get it free by calling 1-800-KEY-LIGHT 24 hours a day or writing Key Light, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794, or Key Light Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us with your regular mailing address to steve@keylight.org. Ask for the booklet, From Panic to Power, and we'll send it to you free. And I really mean that. But if you could help us financially, this would be a really good thing. This is a very expensive ministry. And only a few people who are helped by it are able to help us financially. So help us if you can. Pray about it and be as generous as you can. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include a contribution in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette teaching, Forgiven and Forgotten. How can you know that it is forgotten and forgiven? Hey, listen, I gotta go. Give us a call, letters of this great station, and one other thing, Key Light is a listener-supported production of Key Light Network.